Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We're so appreciative that you listen to Bible Crossfire every Sunday night at this time. What we do on Bible Crossfire that may be a little bit different than other religious programs is we deal, if necessary, with the doctrinal differences of believers. Because we know that there are passages out there like John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Talking about being made free from sin. Only the truth will make us free from sin. Somebody who's teaching something different than the truth, that won't make a person free from sin. So we know how important it is that we abide in the teaching of Christ, because 2 John verse 9 teaches that only those that abide in the teaching of Christ have God, are going to be saved. Somebody's not abiding in the teaching of Christ, they won't have God, they won't be saved. They might say, "But I believe in Jesus." They might even say, "I trust in Jesus." Isn't that enough? No, 2 John verse 9 says, "Whoever abides in the teaching of Christ has God. Whoever does not abide in the teaching of Christ hath not God." You can't be saved. You've got to not only trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, but you've got to abide in His teaching. You've got to trust Him enough to abide in His teaching. We've had a lot of callers, especially recently, bring up and argue for the doctrine of Calvinism. And I think one or two of them have tried to get some of their proof text from the book of Romans. The Calvinists are quick to say, "Well, if you study the book of Romans, you'll see that it teaches Calvinism." Well, it can't really be true that one book of the Bible would teach Calvinism and the other parts of the Bible doesn't. Does the book of Romans really teach Calvinism? Well, let's just give a sampling of some of the verses that people think in the book of Romans teach Calvinism. Well, the first one that comes to mind is Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The Calvinist thinks this verse teaches that infants inherit the original sin of Adam. And it's called original sin. They think Romans 5:12 teaches it. But I want us to read that verse carefully and see what it actually teaches. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, the verse does say that sin entered into the world through one man, through Adam, but the verse actually disputes the fact that we inherit the sin of Adam, and that's why we spiritually die. It says, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death," and it's talking about spiritual death here, "death passed upon all men because they inherited it from Adam?" No, "for that all have sinned." So it's true, Adam was the first man to sin. No doubt about that. Sin entered into the world through him. He was the first one to do it. But why do we spiritually die? Is it because of Adam's sin? No, "death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason Pat Donahue spiritually dies is because I sin. The reason John Doe spiritually dies is because John Doe sins. It has nothing to do with my spiritual death, my separation from God, Isaiah 59 verse 2, which is what we mean by spiritual death, Romans 6 verse 23. My spiritual death, everybody's spiritual death, is caused by their own sin. It has nothing to do with Adam's sin. Romans 5:12 not only does not teach this idea of original sin, which the Calvinists say that it does, it teaches the very opposite. It teaches that people die spiritually because of their own sin. Let me read that one more time. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So the reason we are separated from God is not because we inherited some original sin of Adam, it's because we sin. We have a choice in this world to either serve the Lord or to sin. And when we sin, we're separated from God. We die spiritually. "Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," not because Adam sinned. The very opposite of Calvinism is taught by this passage. If you have a Bible question or a comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question on this or any other Bible topic is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You know, another thing that Calvinists say that the book of Romans teaches is their idea of predestination. Now, it's true the Bible teaches predestination, but it doesn't teach unconditional predestination. And that's what the Calvinists believe. But they think a passage like Romans 9, verse 11, teaches unconditional predestination. Let's look at that verse, Romans 9, verse 11. It says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." But this verse is not talking about choosing Jacob to spiritual salvation. It's talking about Jacob and Esau, of course, and Esau to spiritual condemnation. This is talking about how God chose the Jews, that is, the descendants of Jacob, to be his chosen people in the Old Testament. Notice verse 7. "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And then in verse 12, "And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger." So when it says that these children might be not being born yet, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it's not talking about Jacob and Esau's spiritual salvation, but it's talking about the fact that God's chosen people, the Jews, would be a descendant of first Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and not Esau, and that Jacob, the younger, would be over Esau, the older. It says the elder shall serve the younger. So God chose Jacob. Regarded before he had done anything, while he was still in the womb, God chose Jacob that he would be over Esau the elder, and that the children of Israel, God's chosen people, would come through Jacob and not Esau. Junior from Brooklyn, New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I can't look up the verse right now, but I know it's in Psalm 51 where David said, "I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I'm sorry, I'm driving right now, but the only thing I can tell you is it's in the 51st Psalm.
Yeah, that's in Psalms 51, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Okay? Now, yes. Junior, if you can hear me, let's... again, look at the verse and actually see what it says, like we did with Romans 5:12. It says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So when David was conceived, who was in sin according to that verse?
Okay.
According to that verse, who was in sin when David was conceived?
Okay.
Right, so it's not talking about that David was in sin when he was conceived, but it says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Now, while I've got you on the line, Junior, I'm going to give you a verse to consider. This is Ezekiel 18, verse 20. We're talking about original sin here. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So who does that verse, think about that verse. My dad was named Kenneth. He's passed away now, but it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." Does that teach that I inherited sin from my father, Kenneth, or not?
No, it doesn't teach that.
Yeah, it teaches the very opposite of that. It says, "The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father." And so my dad, Kenneth, he did not bear the iniquity from his father, and that's the way the Calvinists teach it, that it went from Adam to Seth and all the way down through the fathers. Yes. And think about this. According to this verse, did Seth inherit sin from Adam?
Okay.
You see, sin, Junior, tell me if you agree, sin is something you do. We inherit something like the color of our eyes, what color hair we have. We don't have really any control over that. But sin's not like that. Sin is like riding a bicycle. This is something that you do. You don't inherit riding a bicycle. Follow what I'm saying?
I agree.
I appreciate your call.
Well, I appreciate you answering my question. God bless, brother.
Yeah, Junior, you asked the question originally about Psalms 51, verse 5. Did I answer your question about that?
Yes, you did. And Junior, do me a favor. Yes.
I have a friend that you're in Brooklyn. I have a friend in Brooklyn that is he's like me. He likes to study the Bible with people. Would you be interested in possibly studying the Bible with him if you had time?
Yes, I don't have a problem with that. I'm 28 years in the Bible, you know.
Okay.
And see, the thing is this, I'm forever learning. I'm forever learning. I could never completely learn everything that's in the Bible because it's so in-depth, okay? I've been studying a lot of Hebrew lately, and I've been studying the secrets in Hebrew, whereas everything points to Christ.
Okay, thank you, Junior. Do you want to send me an email, or do you want to give me your email address?
You can take my email address because I am driving, and you can send me your information. It's my first name, Junior, and my last name is Dagazan, which is D as in David, A as in Apple, G as in George, U as in Unicorn, I as in India, Z as in Zebra, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, 1970@gmail.com.
All right, let me repeat that back to you. Junior, J-U-N-I-O-R, D-A-G-U-I-Z-A-N-L, I mean, Z-A-N-1970@gmail.com.
That is correct.
I'll send you an email. Thanks for your call, Junior.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too.
I probably shouldn't have taken his email address over the air like that. Probably the way I should do this is, anybody that would like to maybe have a Bible study with somebody in your area or take a Bible correspondence course or get on my Doctrine Matters email list, send me an email. And my email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. Not Gmail, but email. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Donovan from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question to...
Donovan, you're probably going to need to turn your radio down or you'll get confused.
Okay, my question to you is this, right? We do not inherit the sins of our parents, but what we inherit is the consequences of their actions. Now, the Bible taught me that sins will be forgiven, but the consequences will not go away. And my reference to that is David, when David sinned against God, committing adultery, and as a result of his sins, one of the consequences was that the child that was conceived had died.
Donovan, that's a very good point. As a matter of fact, when Adam sinned, you'll remember that because of his sin, him and Eve were driven from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to go back in the garden, so they lost access to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
During the time they were in the garden, while they had access to the tree of life, they were going to live physically forever. But because they lost access to the tree of life, now they're going to physically die. And that's the same is true about us. We don't inherit the sin of Adam, but the consequences, physical death, we do have to deal with the consequences, don't we, Donovan?
Yes, you're right, sir. You're right, sir.
Thank you so much for calling, Donovan. Good point. Very good point.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, sir.
Donovan has a good point. You know, if a drunk driver causes a car accident and kills a little baby, the baby didn't inherit the sin of the drunk driver, but the baby had to suffer the consequences of the drunk driver and the parents of the baby. They lose the baby. The baby dies because of the sin of the drunk driver. So, yes, people who sin have to suffer consequences, and sometimes the innocent suffer consequences because of other people's sins, but it's never spiritual consequences in the sense that they are lost because of that. We're only saved or lost because of what we believe and what we do. It has nothing to do with what other people do. Archie, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Archie from California.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead with your Bible question or comment. Go ahead.
I don't have any Bible questions. I just want just information because I like what you guys are saying scripturally, and I want to learn more about as far as the Bible. I've been a Christian for years, and I like what I'm hearing, what you guys scripturally, and I just want more information about, I don't know, I just happen to hear you guys on the radio, and I just want more of what I'm hearing, because what I'm hearing is the truth. and I won't pour other truths, and I'm hearing from you guys.
Would you like me to try to set you up with you're from, are you in the Los Angeles area?
Yeah, I'm in the Los Angeles County area. I'm in Atlanta.
Would you like me to try to set you up with somebody there to study the Bible with? Is that what you're asking for?
Yes. I don't know what, you know, is this a denomination or whatever, but it just seemed like it's the truth what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Do you want to give me your phone number, or how do you want to work that?
I'll give you my phone number, and someone can call me. My number is...
All right.
Are you ready for it?
Yes, I got my pen. I'm ready.
It's 818-267-9426.
818-267-9426?
Yes, and that's Archie Thompson.
Archie, I'll contact you in the next day or two, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. And what's your name?
Patrick Donahue.
Okay, Patrick, it's a pleasure meeting you, and I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing on the radio today.
Well, be sure and listen next week at this same time, Archie.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Thank you.
You have a blessed day.
So we're talking about Romans 9, verse 11, and the Calvinists say that that teaches unconditional predestination, but when we look at the context, we see it's not talking about choosing Jacob over Esau in regards to their spiritual salvation, but it's talking about that the fact that God would have his chosen people, the Jews, would be descendants of Jacob and not Esau. Not their salvation, but who is going to be God's chosen people. In Romans 9, verse 15 confirms this. It quotes from Exodus 33, verses 13 through 19, where God reiterates that the Jews are his chosen people. Notice verse 2 of that context says, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." So that's the sense that God chose Jacob over Esau. It's the sense that the Jews would be God's chosen people, and he would help them drive out the people in Canaan later on when they took that became the promised land for them. That is the sense that verse 15 is talking about. He'll have mercy on them, is that he would bless them as his chosen nation. It is not a choice to individual salvation. Individual salvation is always conditional. This is a choice to who is going to be God's chosen people back then, the Jews. Each individual Jew still had to live by faith to be saved. And individual Gentiles could do that also. If they would live by faith, they would be saved. So just because the Jews were God's chosen people didn't mean they were all going to automatically be saved. No, they still had to live by faith in order to be saved. So the point of this section in Romans chapter 9 and so forth is that it just like God had the right to choose the Jews as his chosen people back then, he has the right to let the Gentiles in now. Now it doesn't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile. We can be Christians. All we have to do is trust and obey. Believe the gospel and obey the gospel, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says. Tyrone from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Is Jesus Michael the archangel?
You know, the Bible never says that he's Michael the archangel. As a matter of fact, the angels are created beings. Jesus is not a created being. And Hebrews chapter 1 makes a distinction and says that that Jesus is better than the angels. Have you ever noticed that, Tyrone?
Yes, I have.
So I don't think he's Michael the archangel because it said he is better, Jesus is better than the angels.
Right.
That's the whole. That's the point of Hebrews 1.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
Bye.
You know, another thing that the Calvinists teach, that Romans, they say that, as I said, they say that it's predestination. And, of course, the Bible teaches predestination, but it doesn't teach unconditional predestination. the salvation in Romans is conditional. Like, for example, Romans chapter 9, verse 33. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the Calvinists say Romans, the book of Romans, teaches unconditional predestination, unconditional election. But a simple passage like Romans 9:33 shows it's conditioned upon belief. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Stacy from Oregon, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I just heard you talking about the Calvinist teaching about Adam not, or we don't inherit this original sin from Adam, and I'm not a Calvinist, but I was taught that we do, our sin nature comes from Adam. So if that's not the case, at what point does a child or a person become a sinner?
Well, how about Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." So this verse, Stacy's Isaiah 59:2 says that I became a sinner because, and I was separated from God because of my sin. So a child, when he grows up and becomes mature enough to understand the difference between right and wrong, and then he chooses to transgress God's law, 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of God's law, he becomes a sinner when he sins. Does that make sense, Stacy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty simple. He does not inherit the sin of Adam. The Bible teaches over and over again that he does not. But when he sins, he becomes a sinner.
So one of the things that has been taught to me in regards to the sin thing is that when you see a baby, you know, and they're born selfish because it's all about me. You know, I want. So that's kind of how that was communicated to me in my Bible teaching was that that's how you can rationalize that a child is born a sinner.
Well,
of selfishness, you know, in a sense.
What about the fact that children, we usually think of children, little children, as being the best of any people. I mean, how if that's true, why do we consider children to be the most innocent, the most precious? The Bible teaches that the infant is born totally neutral. He has to learn.
I'm receiving what you're saying. It's just different from what I've been taught. That's why I called in to kind of get some clarification.
Yeah. You're making a good point, Stacy. Would you like to perhaps get into a Bible study with somebody that lives in your area, like a couple other people wanted?
I'm in a Bible study, and I'm going to bring it up on Wednesday. I just happened to be driving and listening to you on my way home, and so I thought, well, I'll call and see if I can get through just to get, because I like to get people's, you know, different perspectives, because just because I've been taught a certain way doesn't mean that that's what the truth is.
That's right, Stacy. Let me mention something to you. My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you'll send me an email, I'll send you a list of verses that all of which conclusively prove this original sin theory false.
Okay,
send me that email.
What is it again? BibleCrossfire@email.com. Email.com. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience would like a list of verses that teach, that prove, not just teach, but prove that this original sin theory is wrong, I'd be glad to send you that list of verses. We're getting low on time, Paul. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment. Paul from Canada.
Good afternoon. I tried to explain that to your friend earlier. Okay, when I lost my first son, the ball started rolling, and I went downhill, and then I got matched up with another person, and I ended up watching my son die from cystic fibrosis. And, it took me a while. It took me 10 years to, you know, recoup.
Hey, Paul. Can you talk to me after the program's over? I'm going to have to go off the air, okay? I got about 15 seconds left.
Could you call me back?
If you give me your number, I can.
I have two numbers.
Well, just hang on the air. I've got to go off the air. You just hang on. We got to go off the air. Just anybody wants to talk to me more about the Bible over email, my email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. That's BibleCrossfire@email.com. We appreciate all the listeners and the callers tonight. Just be sure and listen next week at this same time.